Punters and dribblers, as always, we're brought to you by the greatest multivitamin ever conceived by man, Good Day. Now, the reviews continue to flow in thick and fast.
Have you got that one from the other day?
Yeah, can I read it out?
Yeah, read it out.
It's so good. It's actually fucking unbelievable. What has been really nice, Tom and I were reflecting on this the other day, is just how much people are finding it
beneficial to their
massively
life.
Beneficial to their life. I know that at the start there would have been a lot of cynics out there going, these cunts are full of shit, they don't know what they're doing, and you couldn't be more wrong, which just brings joy to my little heart and my little soul. Now I want to get up this absolutely elite review,
and we do appreciate the reviews, obviously. Look, it's like the feedback is positive, so that's good. But just being able to hear how it's helping you and the different ways you're seeing benefits helps us know, I guess, the most tangible. Cause there's like tangible benefits and there's intangible ones, like energy, for example. You can feel an improvement in your daily energy, whereas then there's like nutritional benefits like liver health or your fucking immunity generally being boosted. Those are ones where you don't really notice that until maybe you're on it for a while and you say you've got two young children in daycare who come home sick as fuck, and then you just don't seem to be getting sick where you used to get sick.
Life-changing. 5 stars. Big fan of Hello Sports, so my viewers are always going to be biased. I actually bought it for my wife. Didn't mention who it was by and just let her see how it went for her. Mum of 3 kids and runs her own busy business while I also work 7 on 7 off. Seven on, seven off away. After 3 days, she was hooked. Improved late in the day fatigue and mood. Come day 7, she had forgot to take her Good Day. Her mother was visiting and said the wrong thing and she snapped. Instantly says, I'm sorry, I haven't had my Good Day. Next thing, the mum-in-law is now tasting it and they're walking around the house like they both just discovered fire and were the only ones to know about it. Good result. Even got some alone time with the added less fatigue. With her, not her mum. That would be weird. But a look into the future, I suppose. So it's out there working its ass off, which is fucking terrific. There are downsides to being the fastest selling multivitamin of all time. Yeah. And that's that in the last month in particular, sales have just gone fucking through the roof, which we love. Tripled, I think, Tom. So we basically got caught with our pants down a little bit and not enough stock on hand.
Yeah, pants down, cold, little doodles.
It won't happen again. That's a Hello Sport promise. However, we are likely to sell out in the next probably 4 or 5 days, roughly. We will have stock for those with subscriptions. Yep. So you will never miss out. If you're a subscriber, you're good. If you are a new subscriber as of when we sell out, or you're a new customer, you won't be able to purchase. Well, you can purchase it, but it won't arrive for about 3 weeks.
Yes. So from here, if you start subscribing, you basically just locking it in so that when it lands, then you're good to go and you're straight back on the train.
So you'll know, Punters and Dribblers, we'll do a bit of a thing on the Instagram when we do a sellout, and you'll notice on the website it'll flick from buy now to pre-order.
Yeah.
So that'll be the difference.
Listen, it's not ideal, but it also really just means that it's been successful beyond our wildest imagination, and you just couldn't have planned for it to go as well so quickly. So we're fucking horny for that. We got more as soon as we financially could, we fucking ordered more. And it's just the way that it goes, the production. Again, when you're getting primo quality shit, it takes time.
And it's got to be tested multiple times. There's a bit of a process. We've sped it up as much as we can. It is what it is, punters and dribblers. Bear with us. So we'll let you know when it sells out. But again, it'll be sometime this week. Again, and subscribers, dude, you're all good.
It's funny.
You're all good.
We've been looking at it going, jeez, we might have a couple of days here where we don't have any. We'll see. But, you know, we should be all right. And then just each day it keeps growing. And there's like, obviously you're fucking pumped for that. But then you go, oh, shit, it might actually be a little bit more. Maybe it's going to be a week where we won't have any. And you're like, oh, fuck, maybe it's going to be 2 weeks. Then on the weekend, Eddie's like, it could sell out within days. I'm like, oh, my God. God, fuck. Yes, great. Thank you all. But also, fuck.
Yep. So subscribers, you're good. We'll let you know when it sells out, and fucking good on you.
Get the fucking pre-order in, though. It's clearly good shit. You don't want to miss it. Just become a subscriber, and then you're fucking good to go.
BeGoodHealth.com.au, code Dribblers for 20% off.
You are listening to the Hello Sport Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Hello Sport Podcast, home of unqualified opinion and unwavering bias, here on Monday, the 2nd of August. That's right, August, the 8th month of the year, I believe. Do your own maths. Week 2 of the Olympics, all going well. Week fucking 7 of the New South Wales lockdowns, all going well. Shout-outs to the Delta variant, specifically for rearing your ugly head, trotting back into town. And then welcome to you, Edward Simpson.
Tom, punters, dribblers. Delta. It's a pleasure to be here. Well, fuck Delta. Pleasure to be here on the 2nd of August, Tom. Shout out to my old man. It was his birthday yesterday.
Chilton.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Gone the big lift.
How old?
64.
Fuck yeah, Chilly. Do you ever call him Chilly?
No, we never call him Chilly.
Would he be like, I'm not an... Is he a nickname guy? Or is he his dad?
He's... Weird. We call him Faja.
Faja.
Yeah.
I might have to start calling him Chilly. I hope he doesn't mind that.
I don't think he will.
You don't think he'll like it?
I don't think he'll care.
Oh, okay, good.
He's pretty relaxed sort of guy. And then mother's birthday was on Saturday.
So, oh, fuck yeah. You know. How? We don't need to say about your mother. I know that there are different rules for men.
Well, I said it in an ad like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, so you did, right?
She's 60.
60?
Yeah.
That's nice.
There you go. Look, I suppose that sort of encapsulates how my weekends are going at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, no offense to my parents. But
no, you love your parents.
Yeah, I love my parents, but I'm opening with their birthdays.
That was the highlight.
You know, that was the highlight of my weekend.
And you weren't even there for it.
I wasn't even there for it. We did like 20-minute Zoom drinks, which was cute. But Delta sort of just keeping me at bay.
Yeah, yeah.
Delta's keeping this lion cage, baby.
Yeah.
You know,
you want to try and get out at it, but Delta's just fucking... Ah! It's like you know, you get like a choker chain on pit bulls and shit. Like,
I feel like I've got a choker chain on me, Tom. Yeah. I really do. I feel like I want to go out there. I want to rip and I want to tear for the nation.
We're just a couple of pit bulls, not the type that attacks humans and like shakes babies. We're just like rabid pit bulls that want to like get out there to fucking rip and tear.
Yeah. Is that so hard?
We want to rip and tear life.
Yeah, life. Like, we are ripping and tearing it, but we want to do it more freely.
More freely. But we understand that we can't. These are the things that happen in the world.
Look, you got to do what you got to do. Perish of blue.
Yeah.
My favorite saying of all time. Mm-hmm. But Delta.
Delta not making that.
Not making it easy for me.
You know, if we're talking about, like, things that exemplify lockdown and what gets you excited, I got a new bed.
Dude, you were literally foaming at the mouth.
Yeah, I got a new bed, bro.
Well, what size is it?
King size.
Are you loving the luxury?
Bro, it's actually humongous.
Yeah, kings are no joke.
Kings are no joke. I've never had a king in my life. I've been a single bed, and I've migrated up to queen.
It's a dad purchase.
But when you get a queen size bed, you've usually probably got a partner. So it's never really a fucking queen, is it? It's like you've just got half a queen, which isn't even a single, I don't think.
I have done my time in all sizes. I've slept in a king, don't have a king currently.
Yes. You will once you see my bed, I tell you.
I'm in. Yeah. It's always been a dream of mine, Tom. But I used to think a double was big.
Yeah.
And then it was like, holy shit, it's like I'm fucking sharing a single here with Ella.
Yeah.
Then we've gone up to the king. I mean, I'm queen. A queen. It's okay.
Trust me, it's okay at best.
But you got to ask yourself, why is the double in existence? Because it serves no purpose whatsoever.
It doesn't. No.
You could maybe argue the queen's okay for singles.
Yes.
But it's got no purpose, got no business fucking as a shared bed, I don't think.
Nope. Do you know how good a king size bed is, punters, jewelers? I don't even know the fucking like Steph's in it.
Yeah.
I don't even know if she's in the bed. Like it's longer and wider. So I can also just like lay on a diagonal angle. Like, so I woke up the other day and the cat was in the bed. I didn't realize Louis, but he was up in between both our heads. So much room in between Steph and I that Louis's fucking right there and I don't even know. And I wake up and I'm lying diagonally and like under Steph's legs because she's not tall enough to fucking come close to filling up a king. And then I'm all the way back up and like my arms are out and I'm like, where's the side of the bed?
Get those dimensions up,
Dior. Yeah, here. All right, so king bed, 203 centimetres long.
Yeah, that's a good length.
That's a huge
That's length. A really good length yeah. because not many human beings over 2 metres, myself exactly. included. It might shock the punter and the dribbler, but no. I'm not.
But also, not just that, like, if you were to stand next to someone who's 203 centimetres, you're like, oh, that, I've got so much room to play with above my own yeah. head.
Oh, you're a big boy.
Yeah.
Mm. And then it's 183 across the bottom.
So basically, its length, its width, it's
longer
my
than
height.
It's longer than it is wide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's a queen rocking?
A queen is also 203 long ways and 152 across.
I disagree with the length.
That length. Yeah, the length.
This is
not...
according to Sealy on their website.
Sealy may be incorrect. Now, I would like to turn the punter and the dribbler's attention to something I heard many years ago, and I take this as gospel now. Mm. Gospel. A queen bed is just two singles put together.
Yeah.
Whereas a king is two king singles. Now, the king single was always wider and longer than the single. It always yes. was.
The king single, again, like, how many fucking mattress divisions do we need? Like, surely it's just single, queen, king. What's a king single for?
Well, they're luxurious in the singles game. Do you know what I mean?
Like, so is that like if you got a really spoilt kid? It's like we're giving you a king single.
Or maybe a tall kid.
Or a tall kid. Or a tall kid. Like a kid that shot up really quick and he's really goofy and he
gangly,
can't move.
Like
he trips over all the time and he can't work his legs out.
Like trying to find his feet, just stumbling.
And he gets teased every day. And the least this kid needs is a good night's sleep.
He needs the fucking sleep.
So you give him the king single.
Yeah. He's banging his head on every doorway.
Look, that's why I disagree with Sealy there. No offense to Sealy, but I don't buy those numbers.
I feel like they're wider than 183. Maybe that's right. Maybe 183 is right.
That's fairly wide.
It is wide. It's like 6 foot, I think. I think that's what 6 foot
it's
is.
6 foot eight, yeah.
But it's just fantastic, dude. I can't tell you. And it was like one of those, I tell you what, testament to just human fucking, we can achieve anything as a species.
Ingenuity?
Ingenuity. Thank you, Edward. That these mattresses these days, and I know this isn't new, but they come vacuum sealed in a fucking roll. That is, to me, I'm like, holy shit, heavy, dense, but I then like roll it out into the bed and it's still vacuum sealed. It's just unfurled. And then you just have to pierce the tiniest bit of that thing and you just hear air start to seep in and it starts to expand. And then literally as soon as you fucking cut it, it just goes...
What sort of sucking machine is getting the air out? Like, it would need to be...
The guy on the other side of the Kurt Capel glory hole is probably in his spare time vacuum sealing mattresses.
Maybe. I mean, look, it might be some weekend job, but, you know, there's a lot of mattresses that need to be bloody sucked.
How much, like, lung power do you need to compress a mattress? If we were getting a person to suck it.
And, look, obviously we go by the ratio of air per second.
Yeah, well, yeah.
How much air per second
can a lung suck?
Can a lung suck? Does it need to suck to remove the air from a mattress?
To vacuum seal a mattress.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, I'm just imagining the mattress, and if you're removing air from it, would you need to do it in one foul swoop? Would you be able to pause?
Like a snap vac seal.
Yeah.
I think it'd probably be like... I think you...
Or is it like blowing up a balloon where you can take breathers?
Well, if it's a human doing it, I'd say it'd have to be one foul... Well, no, if it's a human doing it, I'd say you'd have to take breathers.
But you'd be able to... You got to block...
You have to be able to pinch it and then go... But
how do you pinch a mattress?
Well, you pinch the plastic around it.
Oh, yes.
So you've got plastic around it. Dave, do we have any stats on air pressure to vacuum seal a mattress?
There's a few YouTube video tutorials.
No, we don't need tutorials. Yeah. I'm not watching a fucking tutorial.
So what? There's blokes doing it out there by lung.
Yeah.
I think vacuum sealed by
not
lung?
By lung. No. I think they've got like some sort of... I think they've got a vacuum.
I wonder if that's the like lung-based equivalent of, you know, those like strong men who like rip a phone book with their hands? It's like, well, yeah, you can do that. I can vacuum seal a mattress with my fucking lungs.
I think it's way more alpha if you can vacuum seal. Like, if you told someone that you could vacuum seal a mattress with your lungs and you proved it.
Yeah, you actually did it.
You're one of the great alphas all time.
Yeah. Well, some of the great lungs we've ever seen and probably highly sought after in the sucking game.
Oh, well, mate, there'd be a fucking line around the bloody corner, you know, out the road.
People with mattresses just wanted to be vacuum sealed.
Yeah, and other things.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's probably like the gateway. Like, oi, I need you to vacuum seal my mattress, but also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, it's a good in, isn't
it? It's a good in. It's an icebreaker. My mattress, but also. But anyway, so that's me, dude. That's essentially, I think, all I've got in terms of my weekend. I'm just going to double check because.
Did we pad that? Yeah.
Did we pad it? Was that a, oh, yeah, mattress, what else? Oh, that's right. There was more. Thank God we fucking, I checked my notes. What also happened was that you and I have quickly become running influencers. These things just sort of happen naturally, organically. We've been talking about my battle long and hard and arduous with shin splints.
One of the longest running battles I've ever experienced as a sort of first-hand contact.
Mm, yeah, well, you're a support system for me.
I am a support system for you and your shins. Your shins are in a bad way. Your shins have been in a bad way through abuse and misuse.
Well, look, that's probably fair to say. But we've been pissing and moaning about my shins, and by we, I mean me. But we had a business reach out to us, Pace Athletic, who basically hooked us up both with brand new shoes. I was on the phone to their, and this is not a paid segment. This is, well, it's kind of sponsored in that they gave us free shoes, but it's not really. I was on the phone to their running tech, Seb, for about half an hour, just trying to talk through what the best thing was for my shins. Got myself some Hocker somethings, and they are like walking on clouds. I'm taking them for my debut spin after the show today.
Are you the debut spin?
Debut spin.
Where have you isolated? What area are you
going? Well, I'm going Centennial Park, but recently I've had to make the migration to grass running just to try and, you know, I'm just trying to put in all the elements to try and get these bad boys.
What, you don't run on the dirt track?
Well, I run on the dirt track, but I'm thinking that's still going to be marginally harder than grass.
Yes.
So I've just been, I was doing
a bit heavy going on the grass, eh?
Yes, it is. Actually, you know what, dude? I did the exact same distance on grass the other day and I made the same time. So I don't know. But I'm gonna, these are like clouds for my shins. I can't tell you how much conflicting information I've been given by fucking a million different physios in the DMs.
Conflicting? What, they don't marry up?
Some does. But then some of it, and it's all said with like the confidence that you give when you're talking about something that often isn't the case. And then they're like, no, this is 100% the thing you need to do with these shoes, carbon fiber thing. And then the next guy's going, well, actually, carbon fiber will make your shin splints worse. I'm like, well, you know what? I'm just not going to go near carbon fiber because I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Why don't you just go try it and test it? Massage, freezer bag vibe.
That's what I'm doing. You know? Saw that, dude. I'm doing massaging and I'm doing fucking icing.
Well, look, I saw you had the peas on the knees, baby.
Yeah.
And
you got to have peas on the knees.
I think that works.
Do you want to open your shoes here? I want to see what they look like.
I will.
Did you bring running gear?
No.
It's okay, mate. I probably, as we said last week, after our fucking last one, it's probably better that I just run by myself. Otherwise,
well, for now.
For now. Until I'm worthy of, you know, until I'm worthy of being in, eating your dust.
Until,
you,
well.
Because I couldn't even eat your dust the last time you were that far ahead of me.
You know, no, I mean? You couldn't
the
eat
dust.
The dust
had literally settled by the time I got to like where.
And like, and you were, and you'd said at the start of our run, you were like, listen, bro, there's no obligation for you to stay with me. Yeah. And I remember at the time I was like, yeah, but like, I'll stay with you.
And then
as the run progresses and the tempo slowed and I realized we were barely above a walk, I thought, nah, this isn't
for right.
me.
Yeah, you're right.
This isn't for me.
No.
Onwards I must press.
Yeah, thank God I gave you that.
Onwards
out.
I must press.
Do you need help opening that, dude? I'm looking at you going like, you're an adult.
Well, I'm half yarn and half opening, what I mean?
I get you.
So Pace Athletic have sent me a beautiful pair of Nikes. It says, thanks, fellas. Enjoy the new wheels. Now, that's a nice touch.
It is a nice touch.
Packaged by Will. Shout out to Will, who's done a lovely job. Oh, he's got me a beanie?
Yeah, dude.
Holy shit. This is incredible stuff. I'm going to look like a fucking motherfucker running a beanie. Yeah, I'm going to feel like Rocky Balboa.
Dude, I put the beanie on as well. I'm like, I need to go for a fucking run in this beanie.
Oh, Pace Athletic Run Club?
Yeah.
Like that. Have you joined, Tom?
Well, I mean, I feel like we've already been, we're like honorary members now.
Like, but are they pounding the pavement as a club somewhere?
Well, if they are pounding the pavement, that rules me out because I'm exclusively a grass runner at this point.
Oh, these look fast. These look fast.
They do look fast.
There's a Mossman Run Club for Pace Athletic, Eddie.
There you go. There you go.
So anyway, beautiful. Shout out to Will and Seb at Pace Athletic.
Yeah, these will get me where I need to go.
Yeah, check them out if you want to go for a run and run fast and run true. That's what we do now. We're running influencers. A mate of mine who's like a proper runner, like fucking obsessed with it, and he saw my video of me running on our stories, and he's like, you have the shittest fucking cadence I've ever seen. I was like, yeah, thank you.
What, your cadence was too slow?
Well, I was just filming on my feet. Like, I just filmed my feet. I was fucking wrecked. I was like, you know, I was almost finished.
I could hear you.
Yeah, you could hear the breathing, right?
Taking your final breath.
Yes, exactly. But he was like, yeah, you run like shit. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm fucking not a professional runner here. And, you know, I'm documenting my transition from splint to split.
In your defense, Tom, and I feel like sometimes people need to stick up for you. Cadence, a good, healthy cadence, impossible with those shoes you had.
Correct. Impossible.
It was too, you were coming down and it was just like smacking the earth.
Yeah.
And it was just sending out reverberations.
Correct.
And it was all through the body.
Seismic activity.
Seismic stuff. I think now with the Hockers on board, yeah, with a new attitude, with a new lease on life.
That's right. I've leased a bit more life.
I think the cadence improves and it improves quickly.
Thank you.
As the weight falls.
Yes, as the weight drops, which is also something I'm starting as well. I'm starting a 12-week challenge today.
Do you want to release the number, the goal?
Not yet. I will, though. I'll release the goal.
But hold yourself accountable by releasing the goal now?
Yeah, I will. No, not now because I haven't landed on the goal yet because I've got to still talk to my trainer,
okay,
Josh, who's a king. He's a good friend. But we'll
Does that include a meal plan?
Probably not. That's going to be something I'm going to have to stick to, which is going to be the difficult part. But like, I'm
because the more you train, this is in my experience, the more you eat.
Yes.
And I don't, am I just, are you undoing, are you unraveling all the good work?
I think you have to, you're more considered by what you eat.
By having five Tim Tams?
No, I won't be doing that. I'm off, I'm not drinking for 2 weeks. So I got a little.
No alcohol.
No, that's also what happened maybe while I was late to work today because daddy loaded up on the whiskies last night in preparation for two weeks off.
Oh, did you? Yeah, right.
I was watching the Olympics, had a couple of whiskies, fucking whatever.
Sure. When was this?
When
did all this come in? This 2 week out no alcohol?
Yesterday.
On whose advice?
Well, talking to him and like, so, you know, the fact that I'm going to try and fucking drop a shitload of weight in the next few months and just to try and have a bit of a circuit breaker because like you know, basically the main things that are like, obviously exercise, right? But if you're eating bad or if you're drinking, and I drink like, especially in lockdown, everyone's getting through more red wine than they care to admit publicly. So like...
Or whiskey.
Well, I decided to go with the whiskey last night because I didn't want to drink a full bottle of red wine. And if I open that red wine and then drink for 2 weeks, it's off.
Yeah.
So I had to drink whiskey. Anyway, if your diet and shit isn't on, right, you're going to see any results. And he was like, listen, I'm not asking you to not drink. Life like sucks if you're doing nothing. But he's like, just as a bit of a circuit breaker, try go for 2 weeks. And I was like, if I can't even go for 2 weeks and I want to take this shit seriously, then what's wrong with me? So that's where we're at. I will drop the number I need to get to and like I'll drop my fucking stats.
Drop your stats.
I'll drop my stats maybe on Wednesday when we do, because we're doing two podcasts a week now, you're welcome, Wednesday or Thursday. I'll drop my stats and then I've got to, if I don't get there, then there's some punishments that we got to work out as well.
We'll have to work them out. Yeah. Keep you accountable, I like that.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
12 weeks, hectic.
Yeah.
And you've got a full daily schedule?
Well, there will be. There'll be something to that effect, but he's going to be giving me like, he's going to be pretty up my ass. Like, so he's a mate of mine from back in, from like school. I've known him for years.
Yeah.
But he had heard that I was thinking about joining this run club thing that he does. And then he was like, he sent me a message going, oh, I hear you're thinking of getting involved in the Bronte Blueies, it's called. And I was like, I just didn't respond because I was like, oh, I just had a chat with another mate, Listo, about it. And then he's just gone and fucking told him that I was thinking of doing it.
Of course Listo had. That's the way Listo operates.
I know. And I love him for it as well. But then, so Josh.
Listo's a networker, mate. He's yarning to everyone.
Keeping me on.
He's
fucking. And so then Josh goes, I hear you're going to do the Bronte's Blueies. And I'm like, I just didn't respond, went about my day, and then he sends me another message like going, hey, bruh, it's lockdown. Everyone's on their phones. Don't pretend like you didn't see this. And I'm like, fuck. All right, well done, you fucker. So watch this space. Daddy going to get shredded. Hot boy summer. Hot dad summer.
Is it hot dad summer?
That's the plan. I've never been a hot dad summer either. I've never fucking, you know, so this will, we'll see how we go.
You've had hot summers, but not as a dad.
Not as a dad. Not for fucking better part of 10 years. Punters and Dribblers, we are brought to you by Neds. They are the betting platform of choice here at Hello Sport. Now, you can follow along all of our bets at the In the About Even private group on the Neds app. You can also follow our profiles. As I've been saying, my civilian bets are where I seem to be doing my best work. My About Even bets starting to improve. I can feel myself starting to improve. I did hit two on the weekend.
After back-to-back triple staked losses.
The triple staked losses for unit scoopers have absolutely cut to fucking the Tiger King. I may never recover from this, but the civilian bets is where you can see me getting to my work, and that is on the profiles.
Good for you, Tommy. Ned's best in the business. Come join along. Join our About Even group if you'd like as
you
well.
You mean, wow, Eddie, just, you're just repeating me now, are you?
I didn't hear you say that.
You just, where were you? Where were you?
Pixies.
Where were you, mate?
Pixies.
Full pixie stuff. So now you're just going to say, you're going to talk about the fucking profiles tab as well? You're going to talk about the About Even group? Yeah?
About Even group.
Yeah, how do you get in there?
That's what I said, Code Dribblers.
Oh, okay, there you go, good. Yeah. What's this ad for again?
Neds.
Oh, yeah, great point. Glad you're listening. Pixies. Pixie Simps. Shout out to Neds. We love you, Neds. We love you. Go Manly.
Now, you win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Punters and Dribblers, there's 2 days left to be in the chance to play golf. Be in the chance? Be in with the chance to play golf at Shorty's with myself and Eddie. Buy a six-pack of Big Day Rosé at hallosport.shop. You will go in the running. We pick two winners from the month of April. But what are we doing month of May? Because we are working our way through the remainder of the most recent vintage. Got a couple left that we want to get rid of before we then turn all of our attention to the end of the year.
Just feeling generous, Tom.
We're feeling generous, and it's sale time.
We just thought, fuck it. If you buy a case and you use the code Manly, you get $50 off the case. If you buy two cases, you get $100 off.
Yep.
You get what I'm trying to say? Go to hallosport.shop, bang, rosé on there, code Manly, $50 off a case. Pretty fucking generous if you ask me. But we love the punter and we love the dribbler. And we're just like, let's get this vintage out there to the people that want it most.
Let's get it in the gullets of the nation.
That's right. Gullet up.
All right, Eddie. So I think you and I speak for the nation at large when on Saturday morning we were informed that the fucking rugby league was cancelled for the weekend, that we all sort of collapsed into a bit of a heap.
We did.
A literal heap, not a metaphorical one. We all were like, you know, what the fuck are we going to do now?
Yeah, there was certainly that sort of angst in the community, Tom.
Mm.
And as the mouthpiece for the community, you know, we were all shocked.
Yeah. Well, we're a thermometer for the community. We take the temperature of the community, and we knew that it was fever.
We knew it was fever pitch. The people were in raptures.
Yeah.
But I quickly reminded myself, Tom, that we had higher powers
at our disposal.
That's right. I don't know if you've heard of him, St. Peter Volandis, the grandson of God, the son of Christ.
Oh, no, he's ruining the game. Get him, get rid of him. He's ruining the game. He's ruining the game. There are blowout scores. My team sucks and never wins now. Get him out of the game. He's now saved it twice in the space of 12 months. Saving.
Little over 12 months.
Oh, fucking.
Hey, sorry, nitpicker. Sorry. Hey, nitpicker, shut up.
A little over 12. Oh, I'm sorry. What was it? 13 well, and a half it's
like,
months, Dave?
No, it's probably like 18 months if he did it back in March.
It was May when he the didn't game do came it in back. March. The game came back in May 2020, and it is now August. So you've got 14 months, 13 months, Dave?
My apologies. I'm just trying to shut hold this to a high regard.
And in the life span of the earth, the margin for error, we're comfortably
in the margin.
So shut up.
Okay.
Now, back to our fucking segment.
Back to our podcast.
Peter Vlandy saved the game.
Now,
if you don't think that he didn't go into that meeting with government officials at the state level, I'd imagine in Queensland, and flop the big hog on the table, then
you're off your head. Do you know there's no bigger flex than the government, the health minister of Queensland going, there'll be no sport, there'll be no professional sport in Queensland until at least Tuesday, and then Peter going, within less than 24 hours, Dave, you can get specific on me, 13 and a half hours maybe, all games back on Sunday, and then two more are going to be played on Monday, and then back to normal proceedings. Do you reckon he just went in there and went, oh, do you want the NRL grand final, do you? Well, then you better get these fucking games going again, or you aren't going to even touch your first NRL grand final at Suncorp
Stadium.
That
little thing, Magic Round, you keep getting every year?
See you, dude. That's going to Western Australia. Yeah. Bye. Oh, you wanted an expansion team, did you? Bye. That's going to Perth. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do while he's fucking there flexing?
Tell me what you're going to do. Tell me what you're going to do. You're not going to do a fucking goddamn
thing. He's like fucking Hulk Hogan back in the day. He'd come out and fucking rip his shirt off in the middle of the...
But he would have gone in there and spewed facts.
Yeah.
They're in a biosecurity bubble level four.
Highest protocol, highest restrictions for probably any professional sports team in the history of sport since COVID's happened.
That's right.
They're wearing masks in the interchange and shit.
Oh, like, fuck yeah. Oh, they're taking it very seriously, Tom. Very seriously. So seriously, in fact, that the games are back on.
Yeah.
So,
oh, sorry.
Fucking riddle me that.
Yeah. Whoops. Nice attempt there to have a big old flex in Queensland. You don't flex on PVL. Look, when are fucking people going to learn this? You don't flex on PVL.
You can't flex on PVL. No disrespect to past administrators, but had this happened under their watch,
guys,
game's off for the season.
Gone.
Gone.
What are you talking about? See you later. Game might be done completely. Because we wouldn't have come back last year, so the game would have folded. And then even if we had come back this year, it would be like Super Rugby, such the disgrace. Everyone just would have gone overseas probably. And then the game would have had one season of Super Rugby and then over. Get PVL out of the game. Vlandy's bullshit. Yeah, I tell you what, it's better than no fucking footy.
Fucking way better than no footy.
It's way better than no footy.
Mate, there's still plenty of close games. If your team gets touched up and fucking put to the sword, it's because you're shit.
And they're going, oh, well, what about fucking the biggest game of the year? Apparently on the weekend, it was meant to be Melbourne and Penrith, and Melbourne beat the fuck out of them. It's like, yeah, but Penrith were missing a host of their top line stars. So it's like, sure, you can like get ascendancy on a team and run away with it, but like, they didn't have Cleary. They didn't have To'o. They didn't have Yo. They don't have Coruscant.
And also, like, Storm full strength for the first time this season.
That's it. Grant, the Storm had Pappenhausen and Grant on the fucking bench.
So what are we talking about? Like, put it into perspective, please. Like, when Queensland finally fucking decided to show up, the game was tight as fuck. Exactly. Was it 18-16 or something?
Yeah.
Like, if teams decide to defend, like, put their body on the line and fucking, you know... put their heart and soul into it and their full strength, they're generally pretty close game.
An aversion to defense is the biggest stain on the game than anything our good, close, personal friend Peter Vlandy's has done. He's made the game great. He's kept the game going.
What, do the fans just want him to come coach teams now and tell them how to defend?
Just like fucking, that's it. What, you want PVL down there doing tackling clinics?
What, and you
want
to go back to the fucking dark years of the wrestle? Boring as batshit? I don't think so.
Nah.
If you're pro wrestle, then you don't know a thing about rugby league.
The Storm did, though, I think, in beating the Panthers, broke the season for and against record.
Mm, yeah. Highest points differential.
And they fucked my bet as well. So thanks to Ryan Pappenhausen.
I was so happy to see that drop goal. I was like, holy shit, they're going to do something here. And he just, as soon as you went for the drop, I'm like, well, this is it. Like, your week is better.
I would have been perfect through AFL and NRL, perfect to this point with one game to go. Had fucking Pappenhausen. They'd kick off, and then they get it back, and then anyway.
And you were home there. That was like 20 seconds to go.
It was seconds to go.
And they had to kick off, and it was literally like 20 seconds on the clock.
That was elite.
Fucking game of the shit.
That was elite.
That made me feel good because there wasn't much positive to take for me out of the weekend of betting. So we had a couple of games on. Listen, Eddie and I are not anti any rugby league team. Certainly not the Parramatta Eels, but what do you think everyone's starting to say that we've been saying all year about Parramatta, who got done 29 or 28 nil against the Roosters, who have lost like $50 million worth of talent, three legends retiring, fucking Keary out for the season, Collins out for the season, Suwali out, Ikavalu out.
Look, I would say this. I'd start with this. If they had Mitch Moses playing, we'd have a way better idea of where they're at deep into the fucking season, where the business is fucking done, you know what I mean, where the deals are made.
Yes.
In that game, I watched it with a close eye. They lacked polish at the end. Like, they got into good positions but couldn't do a fucking goddamn thing. Not a goddamn thing.
And people want to say Manly are a one-man team. But
I think, mate, I think people are starting to realise without your general out there, most teams are fucking...
Well, of course, most teams probably don't fucking go well without their best players. It's like, oh, really?
That's what a shock. What a shock. Yeah. Are you telling me that teams don't go as well without their best player? Like that old yarn about Manly being shit without Tom Trbojevic, the best player in the game. Mm. Oh, my God.
Oh, shock horror.
Oh, Jesus. You're dead right. Our fucking New South Wales Cup fucking fill-in should be as good as
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, what's the point in even having different standards of players?
He's obviously fucking good because we pay him shitloads of money.
Yeah, that must be. There must be a correlation.
If they're all the same, we should all pay them the same fucking money.
Yep. Anyway,
put your heads on straight. Point is this:
Parramatta couldn't score a single rugby league point against an injury-ravaged Roosters, and as we've been saying all fucking season, there is zero chance Parramatta win the comp with or without Mitch Moses. But everyone's starting to realise that every year they all start of going, Parramatta could be their year, and it never is, and it won't be. But without dancing on the grave, I'm fucking tap dancing, one-footed. You know what I mean?
Look, you could say it this. If Cleary will come back, we all know that. What sort of state the shoulder's in remains to be seen.
You mean
Moses? Seen.
Oh, you mean Nathan Cleary.
Nathan Cleary. Panthers. I'm sort of shifting here because we've danced on the graves of the Eels, yes. And I turn my eye to the rest of the comp.
Yes.
Cleary obviously has a tremendous impact on the outcomes of wins or losses for the Panthers. Now, if he comes back a little underdone, Tom, at the business end of the season, finals time,
yeah,
all of a sudden you've got a two-horse race, right?
Well, it's funny with Panthers, right? So I think they also had Fisher-Harris out. They had so many players
Fisher-Harris
out.
Fisher-Harris is out?
Yeah, they had so many players out. Like, it's actually fucking ridiculous that anyone would look into it at all. But the thing that you can look into is just the sort of chaos and uncertainty that is being created by injuries. Last year, they didn't have a fucking injury problem. This year, they haven't had one until after Origin. And now it's like a bit all over the show.
Well, you need luck to win a comp. People say, what do you mean by that? It's like, well, if your best players are fucking injured, how can you win? You can't. That's what I mean by you need luck.
Yes. It's crazy. The Storm just don't look like anyone's going to come close to them. The Tigers...
Storm is so stacked. It's ridiculous.
And they're so good. Like, they're just so good.
We were missing all our size as well. We didn't have Nelson or Tui Kamikamitha or like Tom Eisenhuth. Our bench was like three out of four backs. And so we could have played an 80-minute performance if we had forwards on the field.
What was the end score?
It was 36-10. But we were up 36-0.
Yeah, you're talking about the last 10 minutes.
37.
You let in two tries. Yeah, you let in two tries, right. Yeah. Sure. Fuck, you still did well. But... it's outside of Manly, obviously. It just doesn't. I don't even know how fucking people. Well, I just don't see anyone like the Storm. It's interesting though, right? We could have another back-to-back premier after not having any back-to-back premiers, and then now having like two in 5 years.
Since
or whatever.
What? Like no, was 94, it 94 or 93 95 or something? Broncos? 92,
93, I think.
Yeah, you know, one of those.
Yeah, but they were also saying like Storm and Roosters have won 5 out of the last 8 grand finals, I think, and then also like have been in. I think there hasn't been a non-Storm Roosters grand final since maybe the Broncos Cowboys.
No, it would have been. Oh, yeah, because Sharks and the Storm. So Broncos Cowboys is 2015. 2016 was Sharks Storm. 2017 was Storm Cowboys. 2018 was Roosters
Storm.
Or Raiders.
Or Raiders, yeah.
And then 2019 was Storm
Roosters.
Or Storm Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders. Yeah, we played them, and then
so Storm Roosters,
and
Storm then
no,
Roosters,
20, no 20, 2019 was Roosters Raiders.
Yeah, then 2020 Storm
Panthers,
and then this one will be fucking Storm.
What was 2014? Rabbitohs Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know what we're talking about.
But yeah, the Tigers. Tigers losing to the Warriors. I think I called that on the Kempe show. I did, in fact. Didn't do anything in about even, which is where it counts on the leaderboards. But
we didn't do that bet.
Huh?
We didn't do that game.
No, I know. That's what I mean. But the some people now calling for Madge's head. I'm like, you guys have sacked so many coaches. Maybe it's not the coaches.
I think with Tigers, what you've done for the last 10 years, i.e. fucking get rid of or let go of all your good players and continue to pay their wages in some instances, chop and change the coaches over and over and over and over and over again, it hasn't fucking worked. You need to do something different to what you've
How
done.
Many?
And I think that starts with hanging on to the coach. There's not like, there isn't some coach pool out there where you can just go and pick out incredible fucking coaches that will take you to glory.
But can how many coaches would Mitchell, not Mitchell, Luke Brooks have seen through? Like, at some point, and it's not, this isn't against Mitt, Luke Brooks, but like, your halfback has helmed the club through the longest finals drought in its history and seen off fucking like six coaches. Maybe it's time to start not just getting rid of a coach at the drop of a hat.
Look, be honest with yourselves, punters and dribblers. Have a look at that West Tigers side and tell me they've got the cattle to fucking make the finals.
Well, they definitely don't. But also, when people talk about Madge, like all the
time. So what the fuck's the problem?
The Tigers fans talk about Ivan, when Ivan went there for a couple of seasons and he bought like fucking Moses and Josh Reynolds and all that. Like, and everyone's trying to make out that that's the root of all the problems. I'm like, I actually think that when he got those players over, the Tigers were so fucking shit already. That was, they were good signings. Maybe they were being paid a bit too much, but you needed to pay money to get fucking players in there. Unfortunately, Reynolds was injured as fuck. And then Ivan left because he saw what he could go to at the Panthers. But, like, overall, I don't think in the moment they were bad signings. I think that, like, you just – they like, they haven't – a lot of their players that they've put fucking, you know, consistent time and effort into haven't delivered. And they also fucking shit the bed more than anything – more than any club ever, I think, in letting go of Mitchell Moses and James Tedesco. Like – how do you let that happen? That's the biggest issue.
Not to mention all the other players there.
Well, of course, well, right? Yeah. But those guys were local juniors.
James Tedesco's, that's a big one. That's a big one.
He's now the captain of the state.
Yeah, and he's won two premierships.
Do you want to hear the coach's Luke Brooks scene?
Yep. Yes.
So when he started was the year after Tim Sheens left. So that was Mick Potter for 2 years. And then Jason Taylor for 2 years. Andrew Webster for 2 games, and then Ivan Cleary and Michael Maguire. So it's 5 coaches.
Right. I just think that maybe if you're the Tigers, it's not about the coach.
Things unraveled when they let a Tim Sheens go, I reckon.
I mean, maybe. They'd sort of been unraveled a little bit. What year did Tim Sheens go? 2011?
His last year was 2012.
2012.
When did they last make the finals?
What, it'd be like 2010?
I think it might have been 2012.
I don't think they would have let him go the year they made the finals. They might have. That'd be very
well, I don't think they made
They didn't qualify in 2012.
2011, maybe?
2011, yeah. They finished fourth, and that was the last time they made the finals.
My brain. They haven't really... like, they were sort of unraveling the moment they lifted the fucking trophy. It just sort of went down from there, obviously. But, like... yeah, there's just a part of me where I'm like, is it the coach's fault every single time? Surely that's just not the case.
Or is it just a case of it's so much easier to replace one guy than
to make,
you know, clean out a squad of 30? Sure,
it's like,
maybe.
You know, like if you're maybe like a, if you look at the Tigers as like yourself or an individual and they have behavioural and emotional issues and they just keep getting dumped or they keep breaking up with their girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, at some point it might be important to evaluate what you're bringing to the downfall of these relationships as opposed to just dumping your missus every single time something goes wrong.
Or if you've got, you know, or if there's something wrong, you know, and you just keep sacking your psychologist, it's like, bruh. Sometimes you need to invest time in yourself.
Exactly.
You need to look. You need to turn the mirror. Mm. Is that a saying? I don't know.
Well, shine the light back on yourself.
Yeah.
Look inward, because they break up with girlfriends and then they fucking, the whole crowd's like abusing Ivan Cleary every time he rocks up to the fucking games. It's like, maybe it's you guys. It's not them, it's you.
And also, maybe it starts with the fans, Tom. You know, maybe we need to get rid of the standing ovation at halftime, because that's setting an setting a benchmark that's too easy, too forgiving. You know what I mean?
So
the player's like, okay, oh, is that the benchmark of the club? Standing ovations in trial games? Sure. Okay. Well, that's pretty, I mean, that seems pretty attainable.
Yeah.
And then once they get it against Manly at the start of the year, they just go, job done.
Cue in the rack.
Cue in the rack. I have the season off now.
Yeah.
That's my grand final. I've just won it. I've just won the grand final.
Just got the standing O. Yeah, no, I didn't get a standing O in all my seasons at whatever other club I was at.
Exactly. I've never seen a standing ovation.
And you know why that is? Because we didn't win the comp. And that's what standing O's are reserved for. Or famous wins, which we've never had at the Tigers either. I just think it's fucking crazy. It'll be funny to have the coach sacked while there's a documentary about the club still going on.
Imagine if that's how the season ends.
Well, now, just purely content speaking, that's a great finish.
It's like the opposite of every documentary you've ever watched, which usually, historically, peaks in some regard.
Has a crescendo of sorts.
Or it climaxes at the end. I think the All or Nothing with Man City, they win the comp, for example.
Yeah.
Imagine if the West Tigers one is just a slow descent into madness, where at the end they sack the coach and then it's sort of like, that's the way it's left. And then the next season it starts again and Luke Brooks is still there and there's another coach. Yeah. And it's just like,
it's like a horror day
when you're in a nut house and the same thing keeps happening.
Or when you have that sleep paralysis and things just keep happening, there's nothing you can do to change it. That's what I think if you're a Tigers fan, you basically like have sleep paralysis.
It's like living with sleep paralysis.
Yeah. Everything just happens the same over again and you're just like, what? No, don't sack the coach. Don't sack the coach. Oh, shit. Oh, my God, Luke Brooks is a contract. Don't re-sign him. Don't re-sign him. Oh, shit, 4 years.
Six.
6 years, 2 years in his favour. Oh. Don't let go of Adam Dewey. Don't let go. Oh, God, he let go. I think that's it. Yeah, look, shout out to the Tigers fans, DMCs as you are. I even saw someone put in the Punters and Dribblers page as a DMC fan. He's like, I think I speak for all DMC Tigers fans when I say that the Storm are our second favourite team from here on in. Because if you're a DMC fan, of course you need backups.
We need wins.
You need wins, but you need someone to link. You need like a team to support when your team invariably doesn't make the finals.
Which is every year.
Which is every year. So, like, you know, they've...
Because otherwise you're wasting 4 weeks of your life.
But this is the time, this is the part of every season, I think, where loser clubs start to see all the good clubs starting to pair off and sort of in the finals, in the top eight, and then it's like, shit, we've got to start, like, looking... We've got to start attaching ourselves to another club just for finals time, because when the lights come on, I'm going to be standing here with my loser club, and when the lights come on, it don't look good. And we're not in the finals, and they're ugly as fuck. And so this is when everyone starts to pick off their second.
People are pairing off, and they're going into the bushes for a bit of hanky-panky.
Hanky-panky.
And you don't want to be left sucking on your vodka soda.
By yourself.
Or
with your loser club.
With your loser club, you've got your Pumas on, you've got your fucking Hawaiian shirt, and you're looking a little bit out of place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're looking out of place. You just feel out of place. You know what I mean? The lights are burning your eyes. You're struggling to make conversation. And that's because you've got nothing to talk about with your club because they suck. So, yeah, this is where everyone starts to pair off. And I can understand why you'd want to go with Manly. Speaking of that, playing tonight, this is a little treat. I think PVL did that for you and I, Eddie, knowing that we're just trying to fill our weeks. And we had said to him, like, look, can you just put the Manly game to actually a Monday night? Because the week started. It'll be nice for us to be able to just sort of settle in on a Monday night, watch the boys rip and tear at 8 o'clock, I think.
8 o'clock, perfect, beautiful stuff. Well, we'd said to PV on the past, Tom, and this is coming, you know, again from our role as the mouthpiece of the punter and the dribbler, we've been calling for, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday nights for rugby league football. Why? Purely out of selfish reasons.
Yeah.
Now, I was a big fan of the Monday night game before they decided to can it. I liked it. It was a nice beacon of light for the punter and the dribbler who have been in the trenches all Monday, ripping and tearing, working hard to make a living, put food on the table. It was a nice treat.
Yes.
It was a nice snack. It wasn't crazy. It wasn't another weekend after a hard day's work.
It was just like a little bit of an indulgence, a Monday night indulgence.
Exactly. Maybe a Kit Kat after dinner. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It was a nice little indulgence. They took it away from us. They replaced it with Thursday night, which I'm not angry about. Thursday night sets up the weekend nicely.
Yeah, I think I prefer Thursday because of how it sets the weekend.
Of course I prefer Thursday. I'm not crazy, Tom.
No, you're not.
Of course I prefer Thursday, but do I like a little Monday night rugby league? You better fucking believe I do.
Yeah.
St. Peter wanted to play all five games on Sunday, and we said to him, Saint, we've got a better idea. Now, do we shoot ourselves in the foot a little bit with Melbourne next Saturday night with a short turnaround? So be it. We got the cattle for it, baby. Monday night football is what the people need, particularly the people in Sydney, who are the backbone of rugby league football. Make no fucking mistake. It's where the game was birthed in the country.
It was invented.
It was invented here. Yeah, we called it. No, it wasn't invented in England. It was invented here.
No, it was invented here.
In 1908.
Yep.
In the great state of New South Wales and the great city of Sydney. So as a gift to those in lockdown, we've organised two games of rugby league for a Monday.
Yep. Who the fuck are they? I know Manly's playing the Sharks, which we will... Jesus, I can't wait to just absolutely spank those losers. But who...
It's Dogs Titans.
So... You're gonna want to watch the 8 o'clock game.
Well, that's why they put it at 6. You know, that's a dinner time game.
Yeah, exactly.
Titans Bulldogs.
Yeah. Watch the Titans Bulldogs while you've just have it on in the background while you got other shit to do.
You know, when you're like, if you got a TV in the kitchen, you're cooking dinner.
Yeah.
You got something on in the background. White noise.
Yeah, exactly. That's a white noise game. And then you've put kids to bed if you've got them. I do. You've had dinner, which we all eat, unless you're on a diet. Might be a juice cleanse, then dinner's not a problem for you. You've had a shower, though. Most of us do that. If you don't, I'd suggest you do. It's good for the soul. Though I did hear this, side note, about showering. You're not actually, I don't think, meant to soap all the time. Soaping strips the body of, like, essential oils and shit.
How often are you supposed to soap?
I don't know, every couple of days. I think you, like... I think you soap, like, your cock and balls, armpits and stuff. Like, your essential tits, bits and slits. Yep. That is how I heard it described to me. I know it's vulgar, but...
Not your words.
Not my words. I'm merely just repeating them. But so you soap those, but like your general body, legs, you know, all that sort of shit, you don't really actually need to. You just need to clean, like
so
rinse
you,
it.
So you're dropping the back from the sack and the crack.
Yes, just sacks and cracks.
Cracks, pits.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can also get soap-free body wash.
Yeah.
So you can wash yourself.
So the
soap is like the...
Strips your body of like oil.
Yeah, like the chemically soap bit. I don't know. You can get like nice florally... Like
body parabens?
While we're on soaps...
Yep.
What the fuck are they?
I get what you mean.
That's a great question.
I don't know.
What are we rubbing on our bods?
Yeah, right?
You don't even look into it. You just take it as gospel.
Yeah.
Someone says to you one day, you got to put this on your body, and you don't even ask questions.
No, you just go, okay, sweet. Give it to me in gel form with little balls in it.
Or block form.
Well, I know block form, though, I have steered away from in later life because...
You're a pump form man?
I'm a pump man.
Yeah.
That being said, shower's a little cramped at my place, and I've got to bend down to the ground to get the pump thing, and it's like, it's just not smooth.
You don't have like a bench?
Yeah, it's filled with shit, of course.
Not yours.
Stuff that we don't need and that is not mine.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been relegated.
So soap is a mixture of fat or oil, water, and an alkali or basic salt. When those ingredients combine in the proper proportions, they go through a chemical process called saponification, which results in soap.
Okay, why though?
What does soap do?
Yeah. Well, does it cleans soap, you, obviously.
Like, yeah, but what's it doing?
Yeah, like...
What is it doing that water isn't?
Yes, so yes.
It says soap traps dirt and fragments of destroyed germs in tiny bubbles called micelles, which wash away in water. In tandem, some soap molecules disrupt the chemical bonds that allow bacteria, viruses, and grime to stick to surfaces, lifting them off the skin. So I think it takes it off your skin and then the water rinses
it. And then
it
gets stuck
away.
In bubbles and washes it down the drain.
Yeah. Fucking up. Now, look.
There you go.
No one listening to this podcast knew what soap was. Now
or
you
what
do.
It did.
Now you do. That's why you come here. Yeah. To solve
The mysteries of soap.
The mysteries of soap, the mysteries of life, the mysteries of soap falling under the general banner of the mysteries of life.
But I mean, like, how does someone know that that's what soap's doing? Like, I imagine that we didn't have the scientific nous to be able to prove that that's what soap was doing until recently, right? Like,
Who mixed it together?
Yeah, well, who invented soap?
The first soap was made by the Babylonians around 2800 BC.
What the fuck were they making? 2800? Yeah. Were they like, we need to clean ourselves? Or were they like, this is a mixture? Like, that's what I always wonder about back in the day. Were they just like, oi, let's put a bit of this in a bit of that and a bit of this.
They
like,
couldn't have possibly known that that mixture would come up.
As the soap we know today.
Yes.
Soap we know and love.
So it says, Babylonians, Mesopotamians, Egyptians, and ancient Greeks and Romans made soap by mixing fat oils and salts. Soap wasn't made and used for bathing and personal hygiene, but was rather produced for cleaning cooking utensils or goods that were used for medicine.
Okay. The Babylonians had medicine.
Well, they would have had medicine. Like, plants and shit.
Like, yeah, they were just like, the medicines were different. They weren't fucking getting, you know, penicillin.
Yeah, they're like, here, put these leeches on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Cleaning medicines, in my head, I'm like, that's sterilization.
Well, that's true as well, because I thought that, like, sterilization and stuff was very, like, wasn't even that long ago where doctors were, like, not washing their medical fatigues between, like, you know, doing births with different women or surgeries and shit, and like the disease transfer was just fucking through the roof until they realized, like, no, dude, sterilization's a thing.
Well, I think there's a difference between sterilization and just like cleaning it, maybe because they saw it had dirt and shit on it, so they're like, oh, let's make this look clean.
Yeah,
which is different to like actually
sterilizing something. And then, do we know when soap became adopted into the showers of this nation and the world at large?
Do you wash your hair?
No. I haven't washed my hair for like 10 years.
Public service announcement, punters and dribblers. Neither do I.
You don't need to wash your hair. That's the biggest.
You don't need to. Big shampoo has got you all fucking under their thumb.
Yeah.
Now, oils produced naturally by the bod do the washing for you.
Take your hat off, Eddie.
Look at this.
Do you also not wash your hair, Eddie?
No.
Oh, wow.
Bro, you don't
have
to.
You know what I do? I wet it every time I have a shower, obviously, because I'm not a psychopath and I don't feel like I've been cleaned. Unless
your hair's not wet.
Yeah, exactly.
You wet your hair.
But you don't need to wash it. Your body washes it for you.
Yeah.
I didn't used to for a bit in year 12, but I get dandruff if I don't wash
it. It doesn't even make a difference. Like, a dandruff is, like, well, I get psoriasis, so I sometimes get a bit of that shit in my scalp anyway. But not washing your hair doesn't lead to dandruff.
Okay.
That's just, you might get dandruff for whatever reason, but it's because it's dry, right? If you just leave your hair for a while, it starts to just make the oils that you need in there, and so you don't have dandruff.
Now,
then they go, oh, I need Head and Shoulders to wash the dandruff away. It's like, no, what you need to do is just ride it out. Don't wear black t-shirts and ride this.
Ride it out until the oils, the numbers are back up, because the shampoo strips you of your oils and you're left fucking, you're left nude running around with fuck all to do.
Why would shampoo be required? Like, why is that? Like, it's such a fucking whirlpool where it's like, shampoo is not something that we have evolved to need. It's not like, it's just ridiculous.
It's a whirlpool.
I've
got Tim Dumbrell onto the no shampoo thing, and he's like, bro, my life has changed.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't know I'd been hoodwinked for so long.
Yeah.
He reckons his hair's thicker. He's like, you should have told me this before I lost my hair.
Yeah.
Because his hair at the back, he reckons, plump.
Well, because what happens is, it's like when you would wash your hair, it gets all floppy and weird, and then it would start, once it gets dirty, you feel it. But actually, all the dirty hair is actually your hair just getting back to normal. And then once it gets back to normal, like I remember when my hair used to be like a bit longer, or when I have longer hair, yeah, it goes through a phase where like it gets to a point where it's maybe a bit more like stiff. Where it just means like where if you push it in a direction, it'll stay. But then it also goes through like a wash period where like there's no amount of fucking anything you can do. It just becomes this floppy, washed mess.
Oh, I hate it.
But that's just the natural course, the life cycle of your hair that it goes through. It's like, oh, okay, your hair's just going through a bit of a clean phase right now. And then it's back to fucking just being hair. The shampoo, shampoo's the biggest whirlpool of all time.
You're definitely onto something here because people in the Middle Ages were using like different herbs and stuff for shampoo to make it smell nice. Then in the 1920s, and there were like soaps that they used for their hair. But then in the 1920s, they invented liquid shampoo. But get this, so there was an article in 1908 in the New York Times, and like a bit after that in the 20s when it was invented, saying specialists recommend shampooing of the hair every 2 weeks, but from a month to 6 weeks is fine if the hair is in good condition. So back then they were like, oh, you don't really need
to fucking shampoo your hair. Chicks fucking shampoo their hair every day.
And liquid shampoo was invented by Schwarzkopf, who are one of the big producers of shampoo.
Of course. It's like you create the fucking need and then you market to it. So it's like, oh, you're meant to wash your hair.
But also, once you start washing it, right?
You're then in a cycle.
You're now in a cycle and you need to wash it every day to maintain your washed look. Yeah. Otherwise, the day three, day four, day five, it can look a bit weird because it's your hair healing itself.
Exactly.
It's lost its immunity.
You've got to stay with it. You've got to stay with it. Give it a couple of weeks to regenerate the oils.
Yeah.
Give it a chance to be great again, okay? And it will be. Look at Tom and I, mate. This is an ad for fucking... We're anti-shampoo.
Yeah, we are.
Now, if we shot ourselves in the fucking foot with big shampoo, maybe.
You know what, though? But fuck big shampoo.
We're above that. We don't bend over for the corporate dollar.
We don't bend over an inch for the corporate dollar.
Never will.
Don't look at our Instagram.
No, but we support Dr. V. They're different.
No, it's absolutely. And before pay. We fucking, of course. Well,
we
just,
did that. That was,
that was all free.
We weren't paid for that.
All we're saying is wake up, sheeple. Fuck. Shampoo is bullshit.
It's complete bullshit.
There's a movement that's called the No Poo Movement, which is actually about shampoo.
How many people are in that movement? Because I'm happy to become the official spokespeople.
It's got its own Wikipedia page.
Well, can you edit that Wikipedia page to say that we're the official spokespeople? We're the head of... What's it called?
It's the No Poo Movement.
No Poo Movement. Look, we'll work on that title.
I think that can be... That's a working title. But
That's a childish title that's not going to get you taken seriously
but
in the halls
of
Congress.
But we will take the members.
Yes.
We will take the members, and we don't want to start our own to take too long.
No, it take way too long. We'll take
we're chair people.
Yeah. Well, the CEOs of the anti-shampoo movement. Chairman. But we will need to work on that title. As I said, no one will take you seriously.
They've got all that you've said here. They believe that regular shampooing causes a vicious cycle to develop because it comes necessary to use shampoo. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Was that all off the dome earlier?
Yeah. Oh, whoops.
Sorry, we're tapped into fucking, you know,
the
everything.
Truth. Yeah.
The truth. The truth pours out of us. Now you know.
Yeah, the real plandemic is from big shampoo.
Yeah, big shampoo. You've been fucking hoodwinked.
Now, I don't know if you're like, if you're a chick with long hair, maybe it's a bit more like there's a lot to go there, but I'd be interested to see.
It's winter. Wear a beanie. And then when you fucking emerge like a butterfly coming out of its cocoon.
There you go.
You look like a fucking rock star. Rock star that you should be.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see that actually. Chicks, driblets. Don't wash your hair and let us see. Let's let you be the test case.
Let you be the test. But you got to be bold.
Yeah, you got to be bold. You got to believe. Anti-shampoo. Fuck big shampoo. But is that rugby league?
That's rugby league.
Oh, shit. That's ridiculous. But that's true.
Did you want to talk about Gutho telling Opacek to get fucked, kind of?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's just quickly do that.
Because Tommy said that a few weeks ago, remember?
Well, Tommy didn't tell Paseka to get fucked, cunt. Yeah. He said, work hard, cunt. He said, like, work hard, cunt, or whatever. It was something to do with, like, him not working harder on the inside coming across in defense. And Tommy has elite standards that he sets. And he's like, if we're going to be the greatest team of all time, which everyone's sort of, you know, starting to think, you have to hold elite standards. And that's what Tommy did. Whereas I think Gutho's was a bit more like, that's pressure that comes from the sun.
He's like, he checked his watch.
Yeah.
And it was counting down.
It was counting down.
As it always is.
The doomsday clock. And if you don't know, basically Opacek escorted a man off the ball while Parramatta were 20 points down against the Roosters. And Gutho took the catch. They got penalised for escorting. And he just called him a dumb cunt, screamed it at him. You dumb cunt.
Right behind the ref.
Right behind the ref.
It was a beautiful bit of what I like to call rugby league poetry.
Yes.
Wherein, you know, Gutho trying to harness his inner Shakespeare, but in a sort of, you know, more Australian way. And he's fucking laid him out. Now, did Opacek deserve it? Yeah, you could argue he did.
Look, he might have deserved something. I don't know if he deserved that. Look, there's obviously...
Was it a bit much out of... Is Gutho skip?
Yeah.
Was it a bit much out of skip?
Well, it didn't seem like the language becoming of a leader.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't, Tom. Now, I don't even think that Tommy used the C word.
He might have, but he wasn't.
Said, I think he said fucking work harder. I think that was it.
That might have been. But even still, the message was being delivered. The use of the word cunt in Tommy's situation was merely to exemplify, to amplify the importance of the message, which was to work harder. Whereas if you're just calling someone a dumb cunt, there's no message wrapped in that other than just like, okay, well now I'm feeling down on myself because you just called me a dumb cunt. And I did make a mistake, but you're not giving me any tangible lessons and learnings to how to be better. Whereas work hard, cunt, there's a positive message wrapped up in that. There are ways that you can improve and you can come back from this situation just by working harder. If you're a dumb cunt, there's nothing you can do.
I mean, could you put it better than that? Could you put it better than that?
I don't think so.
Now you know. Guther, if you're listening, you got to be more constructive.
Yeah, you've got to give some
message. You got to be more constructive with your feedback because Opetich is now he's wrapped up in his bed.
Yeah.
In a cocoon of sorts.
Cocoon, a Duna cocoon.
He's in a Duna cocoon and he's in tears. He's weeping.
And he's not going to come out of that cocoon a fucking butterfly. He's going to come out.
Mate, he's pounding ice cream like it's going out of fashion. He's done 4 or 5 liters. That's in a day.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gone
ice cream by the liter is an aggressive unit of measurement. And if you're in a Duna cocoon after being called a dumb cunt, that's not surprising. That's the direction you go.
But that's the direction you've forced him into by not offering constructive feedback and laying him out in front of his teammates, in front of the world.
There were no crowds either. So, like, every single microphone in the entire stadium picked
it up. They picked it up, bruh. Yeah. I heard it live. And I was like, whoa, what was that? And then it was all over social media. So, Gutho, look, as skipper of the club, it's now your job to go and get him out of that Duna cocoon.
Yeah.
And make him be better, make him be great. Because at the moment, he's pounding ice cream and I'm worried about his future in the code. I really am.
Listen, this is going to sound very unconstructive myself, but I'm just trying to now give Gutho constructive feedback. Well, I'm actually asking a question more than anything, but it's kind of constructive. It's actually not constructive at all. I don't understand the shaving of the back of the head, like high up. Like he's got long hair, but he's like undershaving it. Have you seen that?
So it hangs over the back.
Well, so it's almost
doesn't he
like
have it in a top knot?
Yeah, but it's almost like the top knot almost the hair doesn't go any lower than like fucking there, like halfway up his head. Because he shaves all the way under it.
Look, I don't want to speak for Gutho, but if I had to take a wild guess, I reckon that the shaving up to the top knot is sort of shortballing the top knot into like
oh, here you go.
It's more visually pronounced.
Right, so he's just trying to accentuate the top knot, we think.
So you're following the lines up to the top knot.
Right, okay. I was wondering whether it could also be like a slowly the hairs could I think maybe the hair's disappearing from the front. And so if you slowly, like, chop it off the back as it's going from the front and then eventually you just get rid of it and it's like a smoother transition into no hair.
You reckon he's going bald?
I'm not saying he is. I'm saying he might be.
If he is, it's not a good move to be pulling his hair back tightly either.
Well, that accentuates it. Mm. Certainly accentuates it.
Look, I think he's trying to accentuate the top knot. I could be wrong. I mean, I don't know what the kids are doing these days.
No, that's true.
That's the guess.
We are 32 and 31.
30.
I'm neat. 32. 30 neat. 30 neat. 30 neat. 30. I'm 32. Not neat. Sloppy. I'm a sloppy 32. So, obviously the Olympics running hot. We're into week two. Is this the final week? Is it 2 weeks the Olympics runs
the final week. Do you all get us a date that the closing? Well, when's the last event? Put it that way. Now, look. Are we drowning literally in Aussie gold?
Yeah, we are. We're like Scrooge McDuck swimming in the room full of gold.
Rivers of Aussie gold.
Shout out to DuckTales.
August 8th, so essentially, last week, this week.
Now, we've won 12 gold as of recording, but there's gold in the chamber, Tom. Yep. There's gold in the sailing, potentially. There's the hockey roos. There's the kookaburras.
The tilders.
The boomers. That'd be a lucky one, but it's there. There's the velodromes just starting to crank. We've got track cycling. There's usually a gold or two hidden underneath the fucking track there,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, you can usually, if you dig up a fucking floorboard in the velodrome, you'll find a gold or two, usually.
Look, I mean, we're we're getting into sort of miracle territory, but there's a couple of track goals potentially.
Peter Bowl.
Peter Bowl of Spaghetti
800 meter runner fame. Spag Bowl.
Spag Bowl, Peter Bowl, our favourite bowl now. He's a sniff.
Yeah. Well, as soon as he finished his semi, Bruce, who I can only imagine was masturbating in the commentary box, was like, this guy could win a medal. This guy could win gold for the nation.
He did admit in later segments, this is Bruce, that he may have gone off a little early.
Well, usually when you are fully aroused, you can make decisions that your mind's not as clear, basically, if you'd pumped a load off.
Well, look, I mean, Bruce may need to call pilot, but...
But I think the problem with Bruce is that he's too quick to erections.
Too quick to pop off.
Well, I don't know if it's too quick to pop off. He gets boners. He needs to get his boners down quicker so that he's making more less hyperbolic. Hyperbole.
Hey.
Yeah. Omen.
I heard it.
Less hyperbolic statements.
But look, for the benefit of this segment, put Peter down for a gold.
Yeah.
Because we're fucking drowning in him now.
We put Pete for a gold.
Dior is going to back me up at Athens, which is our biggest gold medal haul, I believe. We got 17 golds. We're on 12. We've got our most ever swimming golds. Yeah. I think we got 9. I'm looking at this games thinking, holy shit, is this going to be a record breaker for us as a nation? I think it could be.
This has been the most beautifully unexpected, oh, fuck, we're killing it at these Olympics.
A gift from the sporting gods?
Yeah, dude. A gift.
If ever you thought that Australia wasn't the most beloved of all the nations by the sporting gods, this is proof that we are.
Yeah.
During trying times, in trying years, under trying circumstances, the gods have favoured us.
And usually, early 2000s expected greatness, nothing but... So that was two Sydney,
but that was a different
Athens.
Time.
But we expected greatness there. So it was like if we didn't get it, we were pissed off. We were almost too. We're not appreciative of greatness. And then now we've had some lean years where we're like, oh fuck, do we even care about swimming anymore? Are we even good at swimming anymore? Then bang, 2021 rolls around, and you're like, holy shit, I'm so much more appreciative. And it's like you don't know what you got until it's gone. And then once it comes back, you're like, oh, fuck, we missed
that. I don't know what the last 5 years have looked like from a funding perspective. I know that during Sydney, big cash injections.
So it should have.
Because you host the games, you need to perform, you need to go well. I think there was afterglow of that funding that leaked over to Athens where we fucking ripped and teared once more. I wonder, and this is just conversation more than knowing, if during the lean trot years at Beijing, at London, and at Rio, where the nation, I think it's fair to say, started to care less about the Olympics.
Yeah.
Beijing wasn't too bad. We only won 2 less medals at Beijing than we did in Sydney.
Well, I stand corrected. But Rio and London were definitely lean years. Definitely.
Yeah. But it was Sydney, Athens, Beijing, right?
Yeah.
So there was still a bit of that afterglow.
That maybe they didn't look at the situation, this is the AOC, potentially even the government who fucking swing the cash around, going, ooh, we need to reinvigorate the public's perception of the Olympics. And there's only one way to do that. I'll give you the fucking hot tip. Through gold.
Aussie gold.
Aussie golds.
Need Aussie gold. And look, I think...
PBs won't do it for me.
No, fuck PBs.
I don't give a fuck about PBs.
Fuck PBs. If you aren't getting Aussie gold, you can stick your PB up your ass.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Set
a PB on your own time, not on mine.
Not on my time. I'd prefer you run the slowest time of your life and get Aussie gold than get a fucking PB.
Nah, couldn't care less.
I'd prefer that you Bradbury it than get a fucking PB.
The only PB I want to see is Peter Bowl win the 800.
Thank you. That's the only PB we give a fuck about. Peter Bowl, 800, gold medal. Bruce McAvaney, fully erect, almost never blowing a load.
The 800 as well, one for the purists.
Dude, 800 is fucked. It is tiring as fuck to watch.
Like, I see him get around in 51 seconds for the opening 400. I'm like, oh.
That is.
Fuck a duck, that's quick. That's what I say to him. I yell it.
I wonder what I would do a 400 in. I'm trying, because, again, the Olympics needs us. To be there competing against
everyone
else.
This was Tom and I's original idea. We've said this for many years. In every event, there needs to be a punter for context.
Yes.
Now, Whether or not that's just like a super input, like you run it beforehand and then it's sort of just like a ghost.
Yeah, that runs like a two-pack.
You know
hologram.
When you're like, you'd be doing time trials on like fucking Mario Kart, there was a ghost.
That would then come around you if it was lapping you and shit.
Maybe it doesn't need to be that transparent necessarily. And with modern technology, you could probably make it look like there's a, because they don't use lane one in athletics, for example. They use lanes 2 to 9.
Oh, really?
Lane one's free for a ghost of a punter.
I wonder if we could edit. Like, if we were to go and film ourselves on a running track and then superimpose, like, someone video editing would be able to do this, right? Like, put us digitally into races and see where we would come.
Well, it wouldn't be pretty.
If you know how to do that, if you have the technical capability, reach out and, you know, there may be something in it for you.
Well, you just need, like, green screen jogging on the spot and then time that to go around the thing.
No, I'm thinking...
If you need that, then you need, like, the exact same camera angles and shots. Yeah,
but the green screen means you could remove us and put us into the... Maybe it's easier.
Yeah.
And it would just be about what time we would run. I think we give us our punters... We give ourselves the 11.9, or probably it's, like, 13 next seconds now. What do you reckon you'd run 100 in now? Do you reckon you'd break 14 seconds?
Maybe. It's a maybe. I think 14. I think I'd do 14.
Yeah, I've lost plenty of yards. Oh, I know that because when I get to full trot in Oztag, I know I'm like, ooh, I'm slow now.
Yeah, yeah.
You can just feel it.
I used to have a bit of like nip about me.
Top end speed.
I was never fast, but when I got up to full speed, I was comfortable enough to like. You know, be able to keep up or, you know, like I wasn't just getting mowed down by everyone. I had like just a faint bit of nip whilst not being quick. Now it's like, as you say, if you're in open space or if I was like, you know, I almost feel like now when I'm running, you know, when you're in a dream and you're trying to get away from something, you're running slow. That's how I feel like if I'm playing footy or touch or something, right? And it's like, yeah, in some even a slight bit of space, like you're just not like accelerating through anything.
Mm. Yeah, it feels like you're running through mud.
Yeah.
Now, where were we?
We're talking Olympics. I want to say this. We obviously do two podcasts a week now. You're very welcome. But after we recorded last week's one, Jess Fox finally wins gold for the. I think Jess Fox is my favorite Australian athlete at the Olympics. I think she's
very attractive.
Attractive, but she just seems very nice and sweet. Like she doesn't seem like she's arrogant or not that like heaps of them do, but she just seems particularly like nice and she
wholesome,
and she deserved that gold more than anyone else in the whole fucking country.
Well, I was interested to hear. Obviously, we all know about her disappointment in the K1. That's the kayak.
Yes,
one man.
Yes.
Where she, you know, hit the final gate, she came third, wasn't her fucking run. But she had been, along with her mother and some degrees, her father, who I don't think are together anymore, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, we just hope they're happy.
That's exactly right. We're like pioneers of C1, canoe, one person, for women. It was usually just for men, but they
the first time it's been in the Olympics.
100%,
yeah.
But they pushed hard for it, right? It used to not be at anything. Then they like pushed hard. Then it got into the World Championships. Now it's at the Olympics. Jess Fox, the debut winner.
Yeah.
Was there a dry fucking eye in the nation?
No.
When she won gold, embraced by her sister, embraced by her mother.
But her old man commentating for fucking Channel 7. So he's like commentating back in Australia, his daughter's first gold in the fucking event that they've fought tooth and nail to get in. She's considered the greatest female
paddler
of all time. Thank you. I was looking for the pejorative. Of all time. Pejorative, I think, is the right word. I don't know. Do your own research. Of all time. But she was like, unless you've won gold... Yeah, I don't consider it. You can't be considered the GOAT. That's what she's saying. Like, so I don't think you can be considered unless you've won the gold. And then
yeah,
she
but
does
you
it.
Know what? You know what? I'd have to go with Jess on that. Look,
so would I.
It's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow, but you're not great unless you've won the big dance. I mean, Chris Paul said it brilliantly earlier. He's like, it doesn't, my legacy means fuck all unless I win a chip. He didn't sure. win. Stiff shit didn't to win. Chris.
Sorry, Chris.
It is what it is.
I also hate the chip. I hate when people say chip.
Sorry. You just deal with it this
no,
time.
No, I know. I will deal with it that time, but it's just like everyone said it after Drake did, and I'm just like, oh, it's so obvious that's why you're saying it. And so, not you. I know that you're saying it because...
Everyone else says it,
but that's why people say it. Anyway.
Do you know, both her parents were also Olympic canoeists.
Yes, we did know that. Yeah,
and her mother won bronze.
For?
In canoeing.
But for which nation?
For France.
She's French.
France.
And Jess can speak French.
Yes, fluently. Jess. And she said she's coming to Paris in 2020.
Yeah, well, she'll be 30.
Yeah. Jess also...
She's good to go.
Fucking oh, she's good to go.
Also Jewish and studying media comms at Sydney Uni. So, like, are we the same person, kind of?
Yeah, maybe. Well,
she's really smart, apparently. Yeah.
Mm. But, like, also, you know, I guess there's limitations to the canoeing game that are going to offer, like, careers. So it's like she's just a go-getter. She's also studying. You know what I mean? Some people are like, oh, I'm just going to be a fucking this. I'm not going to try. She's just like a well-rounded. And then her old man is in tears in commentary talking about how lovely she is as a person. I was sitting there with my young daughter as she was playing with blocks and I'm watching this guy cry and I'm like, I'm crying. Sorry. Hey, sue me. I'm crying.
Mate, everyone was crying. Everyone was crying. I wasn't being fucking hyperbolic and facetious before.
Pedobolic.
I wasn't being pedobolic. Everyone was crying. And they were crying for good reason because a daughter of the nation, Jess Fox, who is beloved now by all, finally gets the gong that she so desperately deserved. Yep. More Aussie gold for the nation. Yep. Beautiful scenes. Father, mother, sister. It just felt right. Yep. And you know what? Times have been tough. So we all let out a little cry. And it felt nice. And we all felt better.
And the way she, like, seeing, like, just seeing that satisfaction.
The relief on her face when she realized she won was so fucking pure. Yes. I was like, holy shit, if you could bottle this, you would be a trillionaire.
Yes, pure elation. It was like, it's a pure, it's like a mixture of pure elation, satisfaction, and relief.
I wonder what that feels like. You can see it. I recognize it.
But I haven't felt
it. But I have no idea what it feels like. No.
I mean, maybe it's when the numbers roll in each week for us and we just see that fucking podcast.
We get, I think we get a hint of it.
Yeah, I think we get like a micro dose, a little bump of it.
Yeah, but we...
Not even close.
But we haven't had we haven't had devastating L's.
No, we haven't. We haven't had devastating L's and we've never mainlined satisfaction like she has.
You know what I mean?
Straight to the veins.
She's like, she would be undefeated. She would have been all gold.
I'd say what we've had. We've had probably extreme satisfaction in our life at certain times. We've had extreme relief at certain times, and extreme like elation at certain times. We've never had those three chopped together.
Mm. Minced
together.
Diced.
Ground together and then just eaten it by the spoonful.
Yeah.
Or into liquefied and then injected straight in your veins.
And also at the pinnacle of like the end of your journey, kind of like she had been working all that time. This was the last event, right? She missed out the one before. Yeah. Like, came together at the right time.
Had to do it.
Yeah.
All the fucking...
I think it was her third Olympics as well.
Yes,
like,
it is.
There's quite a journey there. There's a lot of time, 5 years. Is the fucking event going to be called off? Is the Olympics going ahead?
Are you the greatest? Not if you haven't won a gold.
And also, just to fucking throw a bit more narrative into this fucking... bit more yarn into this narrative. She sucked shit in the heats. Like, it looked like she was...
not going to do it.
All at sea. She wasn't going to do it. She was under the pump. Then she digs deep in the semis... gets the fucking number one seed and rips and she tears. So
and without obviously being completely au fait with the nuances of C1, I do consider myself a general purveyor of fine runs. and it was one of the great runs I've seen in C1 history.
Well, it was a tough course, Tom.
She danced down the fucking thing, dude.
She danced down it. She attacked it with vigor. And her execution was chef's kiss.
It was, but it was like a, it was just, it just looked like a leaf just floating down the river. Just
I sort of went down a bit of a Jess Fox
rabbit hole.
Rabbit hole, not glory hole, rabbit hole. And like, I looked at some of the world championship courses and they're fucking pedestrian compared to that Olympic course they rolled out. That was the real deal. That was a motherfucker.
That was a fucking mamma jamma.
That was a mamma jamma. That was rapid stuff. Compared to some of these world championship courses, it's like a fucking...
a kiddie pool at like the Waterworld.
It's
kiddie
pool stuff. I'm like, that's not up to scratch.
No, you could float a toddler down that thing and it'd be safe.
And you'd be a 2 minute, 3 minute run. You pick them up at the end and they're fucking good to go.
They're probably bored. They fell asleep.
They did. They did. So the Olympic course, no joke, but that's what I like because you know that the cream will rise and that's what we've seen.
Yep.
So a tremendous effort to Jess Fox. Fucking loved it.
Loved it, dude. So happy for Jess.
Emma McKeon.
McKeon.
I think we'll...
Kaylee McEwen, Emma McKeon.
There you go.
Emma McKeon, now our most successful Olympian all time.
Yes.
11 medals.
11 medals.
5 golds.
Now, this isn't to take anything away from it. It sounds like I am, but I'm not. But what is... I saw a picture the other day that contextualized hers. So I think she's got 5 gold, which is the same as Thorpey. She's obviously got shitloads of bronze and silver.
3 relays.
Yes. Whereas Thorpey has 5 individual gold.
I think. No, he doesn't. He's got 400, 200, 3.
Oh, he's got 3 individual, 2 relay, where she has...
2 individual, 3 relay.
Right. Oh, that's actually not that different. No. I, for some reason, read it differently.
No, no, no.
I thought it was more than that. Well, play on, Emma.
Because Thorpe got beaten in the 200 metres at Sydney by Van Hoogenband.
Peter Van den Hoogenband.
And he got his
revenge
at Athens. And which in the race in which Michael Phelps actually came third. It's a bit of trivia for the punter and the dribbler.
Serious trivia. Well, I now feel bad to Emma McEwen for sullying her fucking
Don't you dare sully her name.
I take that back, and I eat humble pie, and I apologize. The humble pie tastes terrible. dominant. Dominance, dominance, dominance. Where do we move to now, Eddie? Where are we? Matildas. I love nothing more than to see the Matildas knock out those DMC pieces of shit Great Britain.
Well, they're a DMN, a Dirty Merger Nation. It's
or a Dirty Merger Country if you wanted to stick with DMC.
Sure. Happy to. Everyone's on board with it now because everyone goes, hang on, this is a fucking disgrace. What is going on here?
Were people asking these questions back in previous Olympics?
Well, they should have been. I don't know. How is this even possible? You don't ever compete as Great Britain, ever.
No. The British and Irish Lions tour once every 12 years. And then it's like, oh, no, but for Olympics, we're going to fucking get us all together.
When do you ever compete as Great Britain?
Never.
Fucking never. Like, do you compete as Great Britain in the Euros for soccer, the World Cup? No?
No.
Like, where are we now? I'm lost. You've confused me. There should be an investigation and they should be split apart and they should be made to compete as they are.
Because and are we still beating them on the medal tally?
Fucking oath.
Yeah. What a bunch of losers.
Now, the BBC, in all their glory, put the fucking great knocker, one of the great knockers on the team of all time, when they were up 2-1 with about 8 minutes to play.
Yes.
Enter Sam Kerr. They posted about, like, oh, only moments away from progressing through to the semi-final. And then they had to, like, comment underneath their tweet fucking 20 or half an hour later going, oh, no.
Oh, no.
You can't fuck with Sam Kerr, the best in the world.
Well, Sam Kerr, what about our goalie? Who, when it was 2-2 in extra time.
Kaylee something?
Look at the goalie for the Matildas. And it was like, firstly, that penalty.
She made 3 big saves, but
I only came in for the penalties. Like, that was whenever I flicked over. But the penalty that was given for her to have to make that save was complete horseshit. Then she saves it, which was like just fucking folklore heroic sort of shit.
Lydia Williams?
Lydia Williams, is that it?
Maybe.
She's the keeper.
Then we go down the other end, and that young girl hits a fucking... It was deflected, sure, but bang, straight away.
Yeah, but she hit it pure. Going in all the way.
It was going in, but it just did a bit of a bend at like Beckham off of a Brit's shin. That went in, and then straight into the second half of extra time, and Sam Kerr just with the fucking gorgeous header. I'll tell you what did piss me off, Eddie, and this is where I come in again. I can see a good run in the C1. I also can watch a game of football and see that something changed and it wasn't good. We came out in the second half of extra time. Well, for the whole of extra time to this point, we were attacking and just fucking taking names, snatching souls, scoring goals. That should be their tagline, snatching souls, scoring goals. Anyway, come out at the start of the second half. Off the kickoff, we score some like sort of almost a set play. It looked beautiful. Then they took off an attacking player, the Matildas, put on a defensive player, and then
girl who's like 7-8.
We just tried to defend our way to a win, and all that happened was just we allowed him into the half to attack, and then we kicked the ball out. And I was like, this is bound to lead to a goal at some point. What the fuck are we doing?
The best form of defense is off an attack, Tom. Yep. Off an attack. Because you were giving away possession.
Yes.
Hang on to the fucking seed, baby.
And then they
pass it around. Instead of booting it around and then absorbing pressure, booting it away, absorbing pressure. I'm like, this is going to go horribly wrong. It didn't.
It almost did.
But it almost did.
It almost fucking did.
That's all right. We get up 4-3. We march on into the semi. I believe we've got Sweden. Now, for those that have been drowning in Olympic rhetoric, they would have seen us play Sweden in the pool match. Handy side, the Swedes. Mm. Really handy.
Yeah, they beat the piss out of us, didn't they?
But you got to dare to dream. You've got to dare to dream.
You know what? It's almost better. We've seen what they can bring, and now we have an ability to go and we reassess, we upload the data, and then we come back out with a new plan, whereas they just go, well, we just beat these losers.
Let's try to do the same thing.
We'll do the same thing, and it's like, ooh, sorry. Sorry, Swedes. Let me stop you there.
That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work.
No.
Because we've downloaded the data.
We've downloaded it, dude. We downloaded it.
We've downloaded the data.
I'll tell you what, Japan has actually some of the best internet of any country I've ever been in. Without it, that's not even a joke. So the data would be downloaded like that. I was downloading full movies to my phone in 5 minutes in a hostel in Japan.
Okay, this is a good chance for us.
Sorry, Japan number four in the world for
thank
internet.
Thank you. It's good, fucking ridiculous.
Good chance for us to segue. Now, obviously, we know of the technological capabilities of the Japanese as a people.
Yep.
They've given us Nintendo, for example.
Shout
and
out.
For that,
Sega?
Sega.
You remember the Sega World in Darling Harbour? Fuck, that place was cool.
They've also given us Sony and, by extension, PlayStation.
Yes.
So for that, we owe them, a debt we can't repay.
Yep.
But I must be honest with the punter and the dribbler. This shit show that's going on around the false starts and the pressure on the blocks and the delayed fucking starting gun and shit, something's got to change here because...
What is happening there? So
what
if you
the
put,
fuck is going on? Did you see the semi-final of the 100-meter hurdles last night for women?
Yes.
No one was breaking.
No.
No one was breaking and they just kept fucking calling them back. I'm like, what is going on?
I was trying to understand that where it's like, are you saying that if you put pressure on those starting blocks, that can lead to a false start?
So what they've got now is... I'll give a short summation of the history of false starts, Tom. Back in the day, you used to get one and then you could, like, if you got, like, the whole field could essentially false start once and you'd still be sweet.
Right.
Then they changed it because people started trying to take the piss, trying to anticipate the gun. Now, what they've done is if you false start, you're out. But what they've made it a measurable metric. If your reaction time is quicker than 0.1, which is deemed impossible, then you're out automatically. But what's happening is there's pressure pads on the blocks and they seem to be registering some sort of like reaction even though there isn't one or something. I don't
right.
know. Because I was watching those heats last night in the 100 meters or the semis and the 100 meter hurdles. No one was breaking. No one was moving, at least to the naked eye, which is like what you should go off.
And
they call them back three times. I'm like, this is fucking madness.
Yeah, it was ridiculous and it was a pain in the ass. What I didn't realize, and I think it is so fucking harsh that you have one false start and you're out. That guy in the men's 100 final works his entire life to get to a men's 100 meter final and he won his heat, I'm pretty sure. His semi-final, sorry. How the fuck does he just... sorry, mate, you're out. Like, surely you get one.
Well, for reasons I just explained, they started taking the piss because they knew they had one in the chamber.
Whatever. Who cares?
But then it would take an age to get the race going.
Mate,
there'd be
sorry.
Like five or six breaks.
You know what takes longer than that? Your fucking entire life to try and get an Olympics. You know what I mean? It just seems like such a crazy punishment for... It's like in rugby league when it's like, oh, someone's done a chicken wing tackle in the semi-final and so they're rubbed out of a grand final, which is like a career-defining, literally life-defining fucking moment. It's like, oh, sorry. You know, some like Isaac Luke, who didn't get to play in the 2014 grand final.
Or like Cameron Smith in 2008.
Well, Cameron Smith played in 100, though. I'm saying there's like...
Yeah, I'm just saying
the ramifications can be so great. Cam Smith lucky enough to play in fucking everything. But like someone like Isaac Luke misses out on a grand final when South won.
It's hard.
So it's like... Like to have someone fucking false start and just out, that guy just walking off, I was like, dude.
The thing as well is they're so, because the start is so important in the 100 meters.
Yes.
They're so edgy. And even a tiny little movement can fucking set you off. That's why it's harsh. But in the 100 meters, in other races, I'm like, you don't need a false start. That's ridiculous. But the 100 meters, it's...
You should be allowed to false start in 100 meters because it is so fast.
Because
twitch.
Of the hazard.
Yes.
Because of the nature of the 100.
Yes.
If you false start in the 200 or the 400, it's like,
you know what?
I'd say
2 and 1, you can false start. Everything else, you're just like, no, dude, you don't need to false start for a 400.
You don't need to false start the 200. No way. That's not going to cost you the race. Whereas the 100, you have to start well.
Yeah.
Look at the Chinese guy. He started brilliantly in the semi. He got a 983, I think. And then in the final, he ran like fucking 0.2 slower. That's it. We'll get on to the 100 now. I have never seen variations from semi to heat to final in times like that before.
No.
In where blokes are going backwards.
Yes. That's why I was like, the 100 didn't have the same gravitas for me this time.
Of course it doesn't. Usain's shadow hangs over the whole fucking event, and it will.
Forever.
Probably forever.
Like, until someone breaks his record. That's what I was like as well. I know it's the same. Like, you could say the same of, like, any other Olympic sport, but when they call him the fastest man on the planet, I go, no, you're not.
But also, it's not even a bit. It's something about his showmanship and the way that he never fucked up. Like, you see now, like, Trayvon Bromell, who won the 100-meter US trials, he ran a 9.77 this year. That's fucking quick.
Mm.
He didn't even break 10 seconds. He got knocked out in the semis. Like, what the fuck? Usain Bolt would never rock up to a meet
and
not perform.
Yeah.
Like, ever,
the
right?
The dude who won the gold didn't win his semi.
He ran... That guy that won the one gold, Marcel fucking Chambers?
The Italian.
Thomas?
Marcel... What was like Marcel Jacobs.
Jacobs.
He ran the third fastest 100-meter final all time.
That one was.
That one was.
So that's the third fastest time in a 100-meter final of the Olympics.
Ever. Didn't... It
what did he run?
980. Neat.
Right.
So Usain ran 981 at Rio, and then obviously he's fucking... Beijing was like 969, I think.
So that would have beaten
London
Usain at
Rio. London was 963, yeah.
But you imagine Usain would have beaten him because it's just like pushing.
But like, I'm just providing context to the punter and the dribbler because it was quick. But no one gives a shit because it wasn't Usain. Like, it just doesn't feel the same.
It was close as well. Like, that was cool. But it was just, there was...
That bloke, not to get, you know, conspiratorial, congratulations to Marcel on his win. He hadn't broken 10 seconds until this year.
Maybe it's good training. Maybe he's working with Roger.
He might be working with Roger.
Did you see that video Roger put up?
Yeah.
In the Italian shirt. He was wearing an Italy shirt.
Oh, that's why he was calling it an omen. He was wearing an Italian shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't you pick up on that?
I was overwhelmed by the
I would like to talk to Roger around what he saw out of that.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to Roger.
Like, what does he see when he runs an eye over the field?
Mm.
And while we're talking Australians.
Did you see the video of Roger and that Greek guy in fishnet stockings?
Yes, yeah. I did.
That was...
In a bathtub?
See Tom... One of the great Australians, one of my favourite now, Rowan Browning.
Yes.
Fucking dominate his heat with
this
that
is
mullet.
What I love about Olympics is because these new great Australians that are unearthed. And Rowan Browning, young, pale, white motherfucking Australian. Just funny, right? When you see like a pasty dude be like, there's no way this guy's going to run quick.
I knew he was quick, but not that quick.
Had you heard of him before this?
Yeah.
I'd never heard of him. But he's looking good. And you know what? I liked him. He just had he was like, he wasn't cocky, but he was confident. And he was like,
he was self-deprecating when he was like, oh, mate, I was in lane one. They don't even give you an announcement in lane one. Yeah. Like, just taking the piss out of his situation, being like, those blokes wouldn't have any idea who I am.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have.
No. And then he's also like, you know, when after he lost in the semi, he was like, oh, mate, look. Paris only 3 years away. Like, you know, just being like fucking just straight onto the next one. Fuck it. All right, whatever. Like, obviously disappointed, but like.
I would have loved to have break 10 though last night. Yeah, God, it would have been nice. God, it would have been nice.
Do you reckon those guys have broken 10 in training and shit? Like, do you reckon they know they can do it? Or it's like you would never have broken 10?
I don't think so.
Well, I reckon there could be ones like with headwind and shit because they always talk about that.
They don't count.
Yeah, but they don't. Yeah, but in training and stuff, I'm saying like.
Yeah.
Because obviously training's not going to count for his PB either. Like,
look, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, possibly. But wind-assisted runs don't count, do you? You know that, surely. Tom, did you see Novak Djokovic, who had a tantrum when he lost his bronze medal playoff to Batista Agut, I believe.
Well, I thought he lost to... Oh, bronze medal playoff, sorry. Yeah. Did he have a tantrum?
Yeah, he's breaking his racket and shit.
Fuck that.
Then pulls out of the mixed double with his compatriot, They were about to take on the Aussie duo of Vardy and
some guy.
Yeah, you know what I mean. How'd you be if you were his compatriot? You know, who I don't think has done much.
No, I think she's ranked like fuck all in the world.
You know what I mean? Like, she would have been looking so forward to potentially playing for a bronze medal, yeah. And Joker, who like feigns a fucking injury, pulls out.
Yeah,
it's like, don't you dig deep?
Yeah, for your country,
for your country,
for your teammate.
Like, and then the Olympics on their Twitter or their Instagram shared when Roger Federer and Stan the Man won the doubles at Beijing, I think, being like, this is what the Olympic spirit's all about. Like, a man who's won so many majors. To him, look at the pure elation on his face and stuff when he won with Stan. Like,
yeah, right.
Basically taking the piss, being like, mate, there's more at stake here.
Than just you and your fucking, like, individual records, yes. And all that sort of shit. Yeah. He's just hard to get around, Novak.
He makes it harder and harder and harder.
For people to like him.
For me to like you, bro.
I didn't realize Fed had won an Olympic gold, albeit doubles.
And the doubles still.
Yeah. Well, fucking
still got one hanging around, mate, his neck.
Absolutely. In the duffel bag.
But, you know, if Novak was still scratching his head as to why he's not beloved by the people, shit like that,
shit
bro.
Shit like this. And then when you contrast that with when you see what it means to, like, the high jumpers who both were like, do we want to jump off? Do we want to have a jump off for gold? Or are we just like, this is, you know, let's share this thing. Hasn't been done. No Olympic medal's been shared, I believe, since, like, fucking
106 years in the high jump.
Yeah. But I think it was in general, like since the early 19th century or whatever. Is that 19th century?
No, 20th
century?
No. I think it was in the high jump. They share Olympic medals are shed all the time. There's always
are
dead
they?
Heats. Yeah, it's dead heats all the time.
Maybe in the athletics?
Maybe not in the athletics. There is in the pool though.
Just check.
Yeah, no, there has been. There's a few that happens. The last would have been. That's all.
Because the dead heat is different to me, I think, than you just both making the decision like fuck it.
Well, some people have been like, there's been sort of like, people have either really loved it and thought it was a beautiful Olympic moment, which it was.
Yeah.
And then other people are like, well, that's ridiculous. Like, they should jump off. I would say to that, how is what happened there any different to a dead heat? Because at the end of the competition, they had a perfect, like, their countback score was identical.
Yeah.
They both couldn't clear 2:39. How is that not a dead heat?
Yeah.
It's not like if you dead heat in the 100 metres, they don't send you back up to the start line to do it again.
No, that's also what I was going to say. If they did a jump off, would it just be like you guys have to keep going to one of you jumps 2:39 or do they drop it down?
They would have gone back to 2:38 probably because they cleared 2:37. If they didn't do that, they'd go back again. And then it's like fucking digging deep.
Mate, this is way nicer to have this. Did you see that Italian guy? I mean, I was very proud of him and happy for him. I think he must have overcome some crazy injury because he had like a cast. A leg cast that was sitting there, like just around wherever he was. It was like his marker for where he was doing his runoff. And then he was like rolling around crying and shit. I did like it, but I did think it was a little bit over the top.
It seemed to be an Italian celebration.
It was a very Italian because he kept getting up and composing himself and then dropping to the ground and rolling around.
It was a
lot.
It was a lot.
Like,
the guy from Qatar I really liked. I really liked his
swagger.
He had some fucking swagger. I also liked the way the man got up and about, like the way that he jumped.
Oh, bro. Yeah, he looked
because there's a nation that has bred great jumpers in the past.
Well, we're reared on a healthy diet of elite Australian
I can
jumpers.
Recognize a great jumper.
Yeah.
Shout out to Brennan Stark who jumped 2:35. It wasn't enough on the day.
No, it wasn't.
It's fucking high.
It would have got him a medal at every Olympics since 2000.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a stacked final last night. I was loving it.
That Qatari who got, or is his name Qatar?
No, he was from Qatar.
Yeah.
That's a country.
No, I realized. That's why I said Qatari and I was like, wait a minute, I get that wrong. But He looked like when you, I remember doing athletics at school and shit, and when you would go, you know, because you basically competed in everything at a certain age where you'd be like, all right, now I'm over to the shot put part of it, and now I'm over to the high jump. And you'd come up against, you'd see someone from the other school, and you'd be going, oh, fuck, this guy.
Mate, he had the shades on.
The flat cap. He was just sort of chilling in between jumps. I'm like, this guy has the confidence of a great
jumper. Mate, you could tell. Like, that's a high jumper's worst nightmare, seeing that bloke roll into town. Slick shades, great action.
He looked like a two-legged giraffe who just like...
Yeah, bang. And just hops for days.
Yeah.
He could jump that, man.
That's such a height. 2:39 or 2:37, whatever they jump. But like,
they cleared 2:37.
Yeah. That's...
No one had jumped 239 at the Olympics. No, which
they could bloody jump over my new king size bed.
A little bit off the world record holder, who I believe is Cuban, 1993. I think the record was.
Yeah,
broken.
I saw that, and he touched 245. The bar. He touched the bar.
I was wobbling like a fucking.
It's
crazy.
Fucking
245 is fucked up.
Yeah, that is fucked up. That's not a record that'll be beaten anytime soon. And also, did you see the world record in the triple jump from that chick?
Yes,
she smoked that record,
fuck
dude.
Yeah. On her last jump,
yeah,
the Venezuelan
dude. That was was it Venezuelan?
Yes,
I thought it was someone else. But whatever, she fucking flew past that world record. It was kind of like took everyone by surprise. It was like, oh holy shit, she just broke the world record.
I loved that.
Yeah, that was sick.
It was so
triple jumps are weird fucking.
Triple jump is weird.
Discipline.
There's some weird disciplines getting around. The steeplechase comes to mind.
Yeah.
Very odd, but I like it.
Look, I'm going to allow
who
it.
Who decided to put the water in?
Yeah, that to me looks like rolled ankle city.
What's the history of the steeplechase? There's got to be a reason for the water.
Probably wartime shit, jumping over into fucking, you know what I mean? It'd be that like.
I reckon it predates wars.
Well,
the wars.
But I mean, wars have been happening. Nothing predates the wars. Yeah, but yeah. I'm talking about if you're in a war, you're fucking over jumping everything.
All right. So the event originated in Ireland. Horses and riders raced from one town steeple to the next. The steeples were used as markers due to their visibility over long distances. Along the way, runners inevitably had to jump streams and low stone walls separating estates. The modern athletics event originates from a 2-mile cross-country steeplechase that was at the University of Oxford. Yeah, pretty much.
So they run from steeple to steeple, clearing fucking creeks and walls and shit.
Yeah.
I fucking love that
shit. Yeah, I like that. That's cool. Certainly not what we thought.
No.
Which is rarely the case.
But we weren't far off.
No, we were pretty close, actually.
In fact, some would almost say the same thing.
Now, punters and dribblers, as you know, we are a 2-podcast-a-week show now, which obviously you're welcome for. We're just going big lift after big lift after big lift after big lift. We started a little late today. Daddy had a couple of whiskeys, as you may already know. I think I mentioned it early last night. He may have had a vegan brownie, and he slept till 7. And we usually like to start here at 7:30. So he had to get up, get ready, go get coffees for everyone, because that's what he does, and then get here in time for the podcast. That didn't happen. So we're running late. But the beauty of a second podcast means that we can take the dribbles that we're not going to do today and do them in the second podcast.
What are we saying? What are we saying in a roundabout way? The dribbles have been moved. Now, Tom was late, and Denon, who kindly hosts us here in his studio, comes in and starts at 11 sharp. Yep. Now, we don't have the time for the dribbles. We just don't have the time.
But the thing is, we need the time because we haven't been giving the dribbles the respect they deserve.
And we need to give them the full respect, the full weight that they deserve, which is why they've been moved to Wednesday to Thursday. Now, is that going to be a permanent home for them? Who knows?
Who the fuck knows? What I will say is it's not just going to be a podcast dedicated to dribbles, because we've done that before in the past, and that is a nightmare. But moving forward, we are going to basically try and condense down the best ones, as opposed to just going through, wading through what is just a fucking shit, a poo river of dribble.
There will be
a more stringent vetting process.
There will be a vetting process. You will need to perform eloquently in your dribble in order to get in. By eloquently, I mean it needs to be good. You don't
basically
need to
set up a wall, and that wall is the Great Wall of Dior. And if you get through that wall from here on in, then you'll make it.
It's exciting.
Mm. I'm not saying it's going to be easy.
No.
You'll probably find me quite stoned and easily distracted and like half passing out. So yeah. Better make it interesting.
You better make it interesting. You better get, if you want to get past the Great Wall, you've got to make it interesting, because some of you aren't making it interesting. That's also it. When we get to this point and we're like, we just have to fucking fire through it, and then we go,
it's not fair.
We're just lucky dipping on these, and then you're just hearing some dead shit talk about something.
It's not fair on people who are bringing their A game.
Yeah.
And I think it's safe to say, Tom, that we would have missed some fucking phenomenal dribbles because we've been short on time and we've had to lucky dip these bad boys.
Yeah.
People think that there's a vetting process already. There isn't.
No.
It's a lucky dip.
Yeah.
If your name gets pulled out of the hat, you get played on here, and if it's shit, we cut you. But that's why the dribbles have been short. That's why they haven't been that good.
Look, are we overwhelmed with the size of and reach that we have? No, but it is manifesting itself in far too many dribbles for us to go through.
Particularly in 20 minutes. Can't be done.
No.
We need an hour at least.
No.
So they've been moved. Moved to Thursday.
Or Wednesday, whenever we do the show, but probably Thursday this week. But that's it. Is that it? Do we miss anything?
Have we missed anything?
Did we talk about Warnie?
Warnie has COVID. Or COVID has Warnie.
COVID has Warnie. COVID's got a bad case of the Warns, obviously.
Has COVID met its match in Shane Warne? I think it might have.
Would you say this, Tom? Would you say this? Would we have been better off getting COVID infected with Shane Warne early in the piece because now we wouldn't have a COVID problem?
I'd say so, Eddie.
I think it would have stopped it dead in its tracks.
If you would have given COVID to Warnie early on in the piece, COVID would have gone, oh, fuck, is this what we're dealing with? Didn't realize the human race was like this. Again, COVID would have had fucking a litany of STDs after their second after touching Warnie.
Mate, if Warnie was agent zero.
Patient zero.
Patient zero. My apologies. Well, he would have been an agent in this case. Then there'd be no fucking, there'd be no pandemic, there'd be no issues, there'd be no problems.
Yeah.
Because it would have died of syphilis or fucking
gonorrhea
or some shit. No disrespect to Shane.
No disrespect to Shane.
You know, you're a busy boy.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know.
Probably could do with pilot.
Yeah, probably has pilot on speed dial.
He probably has pilot on speed dial.
If he doesn't, he needs pilot on speed dial.
Yeah.
We're making wild assumptions here, Warnie, but your reputation precedes you, my friend.
Yeah, as the King Chong of Chonging, that would make sense. That's it. We're done.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Could you two just not talk anymore?